For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Wake up, Lincoln.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's great to stay up late.
It's time for Early Break. Presented by NEBCO. Live from Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
I like Stone.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
And here comes a sandwich from God.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
Hey, somebody grab me a mocha quick, would you?
This is Early Break.
Welcome back to Hour 3 on a Thursday. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen with you. Bill Bush out today. Mike Schaefer still with us for one more segment. Hour 3 sponsored by our friends at NEBCO. Now hiring at Ready Mix Concrete for CDL drivers. They offer great pay, benefits, paid time off, and more. Check out their jobs at NEBCOinc.com. Sipple said he wants to talk a little football this segment. Nebraska, again, will have open session for you guys to watch around 9 o'clock this morning. As they get there under their first week of spring ball. And we've not talked any offense. We talked defense earlier in the show about defensive line, a little bit of the secondary as well. But Nebraska's offense, I don't know how confident you guys or the fans feel right now about the run game as we head into the season. Now, again, many months away from the first game, but obviously some new pieces on the offensive line. They don't really have any new faces at running back. It's still Emmett Johnson's show unless something changes there.
Jamarian Parker, Connor Booth.
Could, but...
Those are new faces.
But they are, but we still expect Emmett Johnson to be
the
RB1 mm-hmm. in that position.
We do.
Has anything changed since the end of the season to make you feel more confident about the run game going forward?
I don't know that I feel more confident about the run game going forward. I have talked myself into Emmett Johnson more in this offseason than I certainly was in, say, December, even after the bowl game. Like, you take a look at his usage and the final four games where Dana Holgorsen is calling plays, and you notice that he's averaging 20 touches a game in those four games. And generally was Nebraska's leading yardage person in that time period.
He was their leader in all-purpose yardage at the end of the year with 908.
And so I like the idea of loading up Emmett Johnson that way, of getting value out of your running back in the passing game. He had, I've used this, I think, multiple times this week already, but he had as many catches in the USC game as he had in all of 2023. I think that's really interesting.
How many was that?
Seven catches.
Against USC.
Against USC alone.
Yeah, that's Holgorsen.
And so I like that because I think you can get more value out of it. And then it also creates and opens up things elsewhere in your offense. You might end up with a better running game because you can get the ball to your running backs in the passing game. You might be able to get the ball downfield easier because teams suck up against the run or against the pass and the swing pass. So I don't know that Emmett Johnson's going to run for like 1,400 yards next year or anything. But could he be a 1,500-yard all-purpose? Absolutely.
And that would be the max.
I think that would be a really...
That would be the max.
I think that would be a good thing for Nebraska, quite frankly.
Yeah, I agree with you on all counts. There's a couple of things by way of revelations. I thought Rhule just dropped in the conversation. Not a huge revelation, but they'll be a 50-50 team. I see this as a... God, I mean, I know I get out over my skis, but I think it's a team that could pass to set up the run a little bit more than
you could.
Than we're maybe used to, or what Rhule kind of espoused when he came here. He always made it sound like we're ramming the ball at people. I don't think this roster, I keep saying it, the strength of the offense is not, like, it doesn't lead me to think they're going to be a pounded at you running game.
Yeah, I agree.
the strength of the roster is at receiver and tight end. So that's what you go with,
yeah,
right? You don't try to overthink this. They don't have Quinshon. Is it Quinshon Judkins? Henderson.
Yeah, they don't have that.
They don't have who is a really good Michigan running, Blake Corum. They don't have Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards. They don't have that. Their strength is elsewhere, and I think that's what you'll see.
My fear in the running game is that any injury to Emmett Johnson seems really scary. And I know that Matt Rhule has stood up and talked about Quentin Ives for 3 years now. I just haven't seen it myself.
Well, he has six carries for 7 yards. That's what you've seen.
I have a tough time accepting that Quentin Ives is going to be your number two running back.
Mekhi Nelson, can I
same thing? Like two guys that Nebraska didn't beat out anybody for in the recruiting trail. And that doesn't mean anything necessarily.
It kind of does.
They're betting on their own evaluation there in a way that worries me a little bit. I do think Jamarian Parker and Connor Booth are going to be more involved as freshmen than what we saw from Ives or Nelson previously. I guess I wouldn't be shocked if Booth somehow became a short yardage player for Nebraska because he has that kind of power component as a running back. But I'm with you in the sense that the way that they are structured right now, they don't feel like a team that is just going to have a 14-play, 78-yard drive where 10 of those plays are just ramming up the middle.
I don't see it. We could be wrong.
Yeah.
And the offensive line would have to be really good, obviously, for that to happen because they don't have an obvious big-time conventional Big Ten running back. But not many people do, by the way.
But I think what they can do is they can piece it together through passing, through the running back.
Right.
And I think Emmett Johnson, if you don't think of it just as straight rushing yards,
can be
an effective player.
Here's what he said, Shave. I thought the best quote of Tuesday was Emmett Johnson saying, "I don't want to be just a running back. I want to be a weapon." That's what you're saying about him.
Yeah, well, and he wants to line up in the slot. Like, I appreciated him putting that out there because I think it creates an idea that they may not have the traditional running game, but they can find ways to derive value from their running back to help their offense overall. And I think Dylan needs that. I think he needs easy throws. I think he needs someone else to help him out on offense. And I do think that there's a chance Emmett Johnson could be your most valuable non-quarterback on offense.
I think he could be. Now, Jake, what we're talking about, Penn State, who are those two running backs?
Singleton and Catron Allen.
Nebraska doesn't have that. They don't have that.
No part of me is arguing this at all.
No, they don't.
They haven't had that in a long time.
No, they don't have that. They don't have Burkhead and Amir. I was watching that bowl game the other day for some reason on YouTube when they had Burkhead and Amir. Nebraska was a good football team, man. I mean, they were good. They were playing with Georgia. I mean,
for a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
We forget that, but that.
That 2012?
Yeah. Think about when they had Burkhead and Amir going.
It's a good-looking team.
Woof. They were good.
Now, we have some people, and I'm glad this is brought up on the text line, because I had a similar thought myself. Sanderson of One says,
Sandy.
Says, Sip's love for this tight end room is baffling. What are we talking about? We got a guy that's never played the position, Heinrich Harburg, who did get the first catch of the Rhule era against Minnesota, but was a quarterback.
True.
And then also an injured redshirt freshman in Carter Nelson.
Carter Nelson's hurt.
So are you sure we should be as optimistic about the tight end room as you are?
It's a projection, and I think they'll be very good.
I think over there they love their tight end room. I know we just talked about their running back
even with
room
Nelson's
too.
Injury.
Yeah, but I mean they're excited about what Mac Markway could be when he comes back from that injury and as an inline tight end. They love Luke Lindenmeyer.
Lindenmeyer's really good.
Name never comes up. Everyone wants to talk about Heinrich Harburg, but Lindenmeyer's probably your tight end number one.
Came on. Oh, I'm gonna say Heinrich's tight end number one.
Well, I think they're gonna get used both of them a lot.
Lindenmeyer came on, if you remember, Jake, last year late.
He was the one, wasn't he the one that the pass was intended to against Illinois that was a little bit over that?
He was probably the third tight end.
That was early.
Yep.
Think about the bowl game. He looked really good in the bowl game. He came on late.
They had that play that they would run, and Michigan used to run this, and it just torched Nebraska in 2021 running this. But it was the delayed, the tight end stays in the block a little bit. The middle of the field opens up. He pops out for a quick pass. They probably stole 20 yards.
Did he get USC on that? Did he get USC on that?
Well, it was the bowl game against Boston College is the one I remember, but I think they ran it against both USC and Wisconsin as well.
Lyndon Myers, part of that conversation, Jake Harburg, Carter Nelson, Mark Way. You have a couple guys, too, that are fall under the intriguing category. Connor Shutt, I'd keep an eye on. And, you know, they have Ingerson and Danny King. There's some guys there. But when I talk about it, I'm talking about Harburg, Lyndon Meyer, and Carter Nelson. And if those three are healthy and ready to roll, yeah, that's a position. Carter Nelson can do a lot of damage if he's healthy.
Well, and he's going to be interesting because he's probably not a traditional tight end. He's going to be flexed out into the
flex out tight end.
You know, so he's going to in some ways be a 6 foot six slot wide receiver.
He's dangerous. I am telling you, he's dangerous.
At what point do we know if he will be available this season? When will we have more of a picture of that?
July, August.
I think once you get into the earliest part of summer,
is there a general optimism right now from the staff in terms of his availability, in terms of what you know?
I haven't heard it from the staff. I've heard it from the camp of Carter Nelson. Okay. Yes, he'll be all right.
I would say they're optimistic just based on a couple conversations I've had that, you know, they're planning on him being part of the picture for sure.
Sandy asked a legit question. I don't regard Heinrich as a huge question mark. I watched him in the bowl game. He played 30 snaps in the bowl game. Fedoni played 31. He only caught a pass, but he had a great block on a long run, and he looked very natural to position. I'm just going to keep it at that. I just think he's going to be excellent.
They think he's going to be excellent.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a great athlete. There's nothing really stopping it from happening to me. You'd have to convince me why it can't happen. Look at him. And look at what he's done already. It's not like he's just played quarterback. He's caught passes. He's run the ball. There are different movements associated with tight end, obviously, but he can make them. I think he's going to be dynamic.
I think it's a humorous picture that this guy has been QB2 for a couple of years, and he could be your tight end one.
It happens in football.
I know. Do you see a lot of quarterbacks go to tight end?
Well, Blake Bell.
Okay.
I'm
not saying there's no examples.
It's
very few examples, but we know he's athletic, and I'm curious and optimistic about that look. But
we know he's athletic. You can expand on that if you want to. How about 6'5", 235? I mean, I think
the most interesting thing is how quickly he can be a plus as an inline blocking tight end. I mean, that's the thing where I may be the most skeptical, because I think the rest of it, the athleticism, the way he moves, how you can utilize him in space, different things of that nature, that all I think I don't have questions on.
I don't.
Him lining up across from a defensive end and being asked to chip in pass protection before running out. How physically he holds up at that position relative to, I mean, he's been a backup quarterback and hasn't had to go through the rigors of a full season in the way that he physically will have to as a like, those are the sort of questions that I have. The athletic ability, no one questions.
You know what you don't question either? How do you match up against him? Are you putting a little corner on him? Are you put a linebacker on him? Good luck.
That's me. And all the optimism to me comes from one person. It's not even a player. I mean, the optimism is Dana Holgorsen. We have not seen an entire offseason yet. We saw an impact in a short amount of time in four games he coached.
I don't care who the offensive coordinator is. He can be good.
I know. I'm saying even to back up your strong belief or expectations for that group, Dana Holgorsen's ability to get people in space.
True.
Is going to be something we have not seen here for a while.
It's going to be much more defined looking. He'll get the right players the ball. He won't try to spread it around too much, which you always wondered with Satterfield. What? You just didn't know what was going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and Schaefer, that is not my area of expertise. I'm not good at second-guessing play calls. I'm that's not my – but with Satterfield, I could recognize issues.
Yeah, well,
they were that glaring that Sipple could see it, is what I'm saying.
At one point, the amount of passes that were thrown that were resulted in less than 4 yards was astoundingly high. And that is not a real offense.
It was predictable.
You're not
going to
have success with that.
No, and we're not just talking willy-nilly here. When Holgorsen came in, Dana Holgorsen came in November, he said, the playbook is incredibly big, and it's got to be pared down. And I ask these guys, they can give me ideas, but I am not guaranteeing I'm using them. His whole theme was, I got to cut this playbook down.
Well, his whole theme is simple. Like, it's, you know, if you look at the type of running game that he runs, he spreads everybody out, and if he likes the box, he's going to run it up the middle. Or he's going to pull the guard off the side and run on the edge of the field. I mean, everything is designed to be a simple, quick read in his offense. And that was the story at Oklahoma State as the OC. That was the story as West Virginia's head coach. I mean, part of the knock on a guy like Geno Smith is when he got to the NFL, Dana Holgorsen ran a really simplistic offense. He had to learn NFL offense or an entirely different, you know, being able to read multiple different keys instead of having just a really quick read option, which is, you know, we don't care how these guys necessarily do in the NFL, but if you can create a simple offense that easily run for a Dylan Raiola that takes some of the thinking out of it for him, that is going to make your team better.
We're going to go over and watch Dylan.
You are. You're going to depart and I'm go departing. Watch practice. I'll hang tight for two more segments. It's all right. We'll finish off the show.
Wait a second. Are you going to stick around, Shafe?
If Shafe wants to, he can. He doesn't have to. I'm doing Bill's Thrills next, so cool parenting tips.
Scotland. Is Scotland involved?
She is. I have a great...
Is she calling in? She giving a parenting tip?
Is she calling in? That's going to be epic the first time we hear from Scotland.
Yes,
that would be epic. Scotland calls in.
Yeah. That would be great. Bill's Thrills, a.k.a. Jake's Takes, is next on Early Break on the Ticket.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.